What we do here is go back.
Yeah, good mate. Thanks for having me.
We went the hardest in the celebrations.
Can't say myself, can I?
You sort of almost got to tell yourself that you're a big game player or a big finals player. So somehow I thought, well, just because I play well as a 13-year-old, I'd have to play well in the grand final.
Me and Cogs are a couple of good WA boys, and we do get a bit affectionate with each other, always giving each other kisses and stuff. Nah, not really, just, you know, a manly kiss on the cheek every now and then.
Hello, welcome back to the Bray and Ethan podcast, episode number 7. I'm Bray Loveridge, joined by Ethan Roth, as always, and Ethan, who joins us today.
Yeah, so we got pick 26 in the 2012 rookie draft to the Fremantle Dockers, where he did spend 2 seasons. He's a 3-time South Fremantle Best and Fairest, 2017 Sandover medalist as the Waffles Best and Fairest player. It's 2020 Premiership player Hayden Schloyd. Hayden, welcome and congrats on your selection in the state squad yet again.
No worries, thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, and going back to where it all began for you, you grew up in Katanning, about 3 hours south of Perth. What is it like down there, and what were your first memories of getting involved in footy?
Yeah, there's not much down there, to be honest. It's just a typical small country town. And I can just remember growing up and, running around when Dad was still having a kick. So was down there until I was about 17, played all my junior footy down there. So I've got some pretty good memories down there, actually.
Yeah. And so you actually moved up to Perth to play for the Bulldogs in 2011, I believe, where you won a Colts Premiership and even made your league debut later in the year. What did you remember from that year, and did you think you were a draft chance, or was it not really on your mind?
Not really on my mind. I was obviously a 17-year-old kid sort of moving up from the bush to the city. Pretty excited about the move up, to be honest. I'd probably had enough of being down home, so it was a good opportunity to come up, and yeah, that year was pretty special. I think we only lost a couple of games all year, and we won the Colts grand final, which was pretty special.
Yeah, and although you didn't play a game at Freo, you were probably there at its most successful part-time in the club's history. How did you settle in? Was it hard to watch the team go so well and make a grand final?
Yeah, those couple of years I was there, that was something that I'll never forget. And like you said, it was probably the couple of years I was there is when they're at the best. So loved every minute of there, have no regrets about it. It was even just being at the grand final in Melbourne on the day was pretty surreal. Obviously, they didn't get the chalkies in that, but it was still a pretty unreal experience, that's for sure.
Yeah, and it was when Ross Lyon first arrived too. What was your relationship with Ross, and are there any funny sprays or funny stories involving him from you or anyone you witnessed?
Probably not. I didn't probably have a great deal to do with Ross, only because I was sort of on the rookie list and I wasn't playing much. I was sort of dealing with my own development coaches. Ross is a fantastic coach, and yeah, someone I can sort of sit back and listen to all day talk about footy. He knows his stuff. So thoroughly enjoyed my time there.
Yeah, and of course, Ross could be making a return potentially in 2022. Yeah. But most of the guys have moved on since then, and we all know you were quite close with Lachie Neal, Tom Sheridan and Hayden Crozier. Would you say these are your best mates, and did you leave the club on good terms?
Yeah, I left the club on good terms. And yeah, those boys and I think Cam Sutcliffe and Alex Forster, we still keep in contact regularly. We sort of got our group chat going between the 6 of us. So, yeah, obviously some of the, besides the footy, but, the mates that I've come out of with that experience at Fremantle, they'll be my mates forever. And, we're sort of in the process or early process of sort of trying to organise a catch-up of all of us maybe at the end of the year. So, that'd be pretty sick.
Yeah, absolutely. And did you stay with anyone at the club? Obviously, you're from Perth, but did you stay or live with anyone from any of those guys?
Nah. So I'm lucky enough to have some family up here. So when I moved up, I was just living with my auntie and uncle for the first probably a couple of years while I was at Freo. So I think most of the boys, they're all sort of over east anyway, so they were living with host families. So I didn't get to stay with them, unfortunately.
Yeah, and you did return to the Kennel in 2014, winning your first Best and Fairest. Was it your AFL experience, or what do you think it was that made you have such a great impact straight away?
I don't know. It's probably a bit of everything, really. Just having that experience of being in an AFL system, having the pre-seasons there, and probably just more so getting back to the club that I sort of played a fair bit of footy with, and just getting back there full time really, and enjoying my footy, which is probably the main thing. So yeah, that was a pretty good year.
Yeah, and in 2017, of course, you won the highest individual honour in WA footy, the Sandover Medal. How confident were you heading into the night from the year you had, and what was the feeling of just beating your teammate Tim Kelly, who came runner-up?
Yeah, you sort of don't go into those nights expecting to win. Obviously, I knew I'd had a pretty good year, so I sort of just went in, tried to have a few quiet beers and a couple of waters to enjoy the night, but I was lucky enough to come away with the Choggies and the award, which was fantastic. But to see me and Tim go 1-2 was pretty awesome, and obviously to see where he's going now, it's pretty special.
Yeah, absolutely. And you did play your 150th game for the Bulldogs in round one of last year. How special of a milestone was that, especially, you know, coming off the COVID, I guess, situation?
Yeah, you sort of, when you sort of move up, you get involved with footy clubs, you one day want to try and become a life member. So I sort of had to wait a bit of a while there for it to finally get there for my 150th, obviously with all the COVID stuff. So yeah, that's probably one of the most special days for me and my family, and something that I'll, once my career's done, I'll cherish forever. And obviously going to be involved with the footy club forever now, which is pretty special.
Yeah, and the Bulldogs lost a couple of prelims and then also the grand final in 2019. Did this make the premiership in 2020 a sweeter and, more sweeter victory? And how are the nerves through the week before the grand final?
Yeah, obviously we had some pretty tough sort of ends to the season there, losing three prelims and obviously losing the grand final. So to be able to finally win one was it was really nice actually. So it was pretty normal. You try not to get involved in all the other stuff. You can just do what you can control. And it was a really, really good day for the footy club. And hopefully we can sort of relive those sort of memories and go back to back this year.
Yeah, I think you were reported in the prelim. So was there any fear that you sort of might have missed out on the day? And when did you find out that you were all clear?
Yeah, it was a pretty silly act by myself. So I was pretty nervous there for a couple of nights. Sort of got the phone call. I think it might have been Monday or Tuesday midday to say that I was all clear. So I was pretty happy with that result.
And obviously last year the grand final was played at Fremantle Oval, your home ground. Did you guys feel like you had any major advantage over Claremont on the day?
No, I wouldn't have thought so. When you cross that white line, all ovals are pretty much the same. They got four goalposts at either end, a couple of 50s in a centre square. So, obviously, being at home, it was pretty special. We probably had majority of the crowd there, which was nice. And, it was a pretty sick day, that's for sure.
Yeah, and do you have an opinion on, obviously, there's been a bit of discussion as to whether the grand final should be at Optus Stadium or at a just a normal waffle ground to allow a better atmosphere. What do you reckon should happen for the future?
Yeah, there's probably pros and cons on having it either at a neutral ground or at Optus, I guess. Obviously, Optus is such a special venue over here, so to be able to, some blokes, will never have the opportunity to play on these sort of grounds. So to have the grand final there is pretty awesome. But, yeah, like you said, the atmosphere and that on those sort of smaller grounds is pretty special as well. So, I'm happy with it either way, to be honest.
Yeah, and just touching on the grand final again, describe the feeling, obviously, when the siren went. I think you were, it was a three-point victory, and you had the ball in your hands in front of, the packed Fremantle Oval, 10,000 people, and also the celebrations to come.
Yeah, it sort of took me probably a good 30 seconds to realise what had actually happened, but once it all sunk in and we were flooded with thousands and thousands of people on the Oval, it was pretty special just being able to see all my family and all that, give them a hug and all my teammates and mates that have come up and watched. It was a pretty special day, and the celebrations for the few days after that were even better.
Yeah, and you've been on some amazing form this year already, nearly over 30 disposals each game this season and 40 on the weekend just gone. How do you think the boys are tracking this year? But you must be looking forward to the fourth state game, to your fourth state game versus SA in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think we're starting to build. Obviously, we lost against Claremont round two, which is really disappointing, and won the next few. I think we're building nicely. We've still got some work to do, which is always pleasing for a side that's winning, but always, there's also some stuff to improve on. So, we've obviously got another tough game this weekend against East Perth, so it'd be nice to go into the bye with the state bye with another win, and then look forward to the state bye after that.
Yeah, and it is your fourth state game. What is it like playing the state game? You know, being with other elite players in the competition, some former AFL players, and I guess creating that rivalry against other states and South Australia.
Yeah, to represent your state, it's pretty special as well. So, you tend to hate each other on the weekend, but in these sort of situations, you put those things aside and you really build some really close friendships. Especially this year, tonight will be nice to sort of get away over in Adelaide and spend some pretty good times together and look forward to the game against SA.
Yeah, I think it is the curtain raiser to the showdown, so that'll be that'll be a brilliant experience as well.
Yeah, and I heard some... Yeah. Oh, you go.
Yeah, even better. Obviously, to be able to play on Adelaide Oval and play the curtain raiser, it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, and I heard a couple of days ago, I think I was talking to you, Ethan, I was like, why on earth are WA playing South Australia for like the fourth time in a row? And someone said it's just because Victoria don't want to play it anymore because WA beat them in 2017, I think it was. Do you know if that's true?
No, I don't know the reason, but I do know that all other states are not involved in this at the moment. Or for the short term, I guess. So, all I know is, I think it's going to be WA and SA for the next few years. That's for anyway, yeah.
Yeah, because I think, I remember when WS Tasmania, they absolutely smacked them, and I think that's probably just carried over to the other states as well, which is good for our state, but
WA have been shining the last couple of years. But we've got a couple of Q&As here for you, Hayden. First one here from Tom Closer. Hardest player you have ever had to play on?
Going probably back to my early days in the Colts, I remember playing against Jager O'Meara and Tom Mitchell back in our Colts days.
Were they on the same Colts list or team?
That was the same Colts year, Jager played for Perth back then, and Tommy Mitchell was at Claremont. So I actually played against Tommy Mitchell in the grand final. When I'm getting a bit old, I was a bit older and I was at Freo. They were training me sort of to be a player in the back line. I remember playing Matt Shims and Pracky matches and all that sort of stuff on Hayden Ballantyne and Michael Walters. So that was pretty tough. And then obviously over the last few years, probably one of the best I've gone against is Kyle Horsley. He's probably right up there against one of the hardest players and best I've ever played against.
Yeah, and Mira and Mitchell, they're often forgotten about, that they are from WA. Yeah. Obviously, Mitchell is from East as well, but Mira, people forget that he is from WA. This one comes from James McGuinness, a good friend of the show. He says, since you were delisted from the Dockers, have you had any offers from AFL clubs?
No, I haven't. I've obviously nominated for a few times there. But there hasn't really been any significant interest. So, disappointing. But, it's all out of my hands, really.
Is it something you'd probably put your hand up again? Obviously, there's stuff like the mid-season draft. But now that you're a bit older, is it something you're sort of looking at?
No, probably not. That all probably really stopped after that 2017 year. After my year, I didn't get picked up, I sort of... had the realisation that it probably wasn't going to happen, and I'd put all my focus on obviously footy at waffle level and all that sort of stuff. So turning 28 in June, it's probably more than unlikely than likely, but yeah, I hold no regrets if it would never happen again. So
next one here is from Seagull, another good friend of the show. Rank the following Katanning products: you, Ash and Hams, and Cade Stewart.
It's a tough question, that one. I'd probably go, they both played AFL, so they'd have to be in front of me, and probably Ashton's played the most, so I'd probably go Ashton, Cade, then myself.
Yeah, okay. Being very modest there.
Yeah, Seagull is a Katanning boy, actually.
Yeah, he's okay.
He's from Katanning, so
yeah, right.
He loves the Katanning boys.
Yeah, and last one comes from Matt's underscore private 08. Bit of a, bit of a weird question, but do you hate the Sharks, meaning East Freo? And then he's probably wanting to you elaborate on the rivalry with East Fremantle.
I might have got a few private messages from that bloke regarding the Sharks. it's part of footy, isn't it? The rivalry between some clubs and all that sort of stuff. You know, hate's a pretty strong word. Obviously, I know a few blokes from East Freo, and I've got a lot of respect for them. So, but obviously, when you cross that white line and you're playing against them, yeah, you don't like them very much. So, obviously they're our arch rivals, and we've had a lot of good battles over the time. So, we've probably had the wood over them the last 4 or 5 years. So, yeah, hope that continues while I'm playing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Hayden, we really appreciate your time. Take care. All the best for not only the state game, but for the Bulldogs for the remainder of the year and as you look to go back-to-back.
No worries. Really appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Cheers.
Well, it was Hayden departs. Ethan, we're going to chat a little bit of footy, I guess.
Yeah,
haven't done this for a while.
Yeah, it was a great chat with Hayden. Really enjoyed it. And, plenty of news, I suppose, in WA and Australia in terms of the footy.
Yeah, and obviously, we mentioned Ross Lyon earlier in the show. He could be at the Pies in 2022.
Yeah, that is a good point. Obviously, bringing a bit of relevance into the episode. There's been a bit of talk, if Buckley isn't there, that Lyon's probably the front runner if he does want to return to coaching. But Ross Lyon, Collingwood, I don't think you get it more controversial or more, I don't want to say well-suited, but just like he's very controversial, and obviously the Pies are most scrutinised team in the competition, so I reckon it'd be good for a watching perspective.
Yeah, sure will be. But someone said Ross Lyon, if they can't get him, then Buckley will stay.
Yeah.
I can't remember who said that, but I heard it.
Point. I think they've probably just got to make their mind about Buckley, if he's there or not, to be honest. Yeah. Like, they can't really wait long. I feel like the more they wait, it's just going to get worse, and especially if they keep losing games. Like, if they lose to North on the weekend, I reckon he could be gone, like, very soon.
Oh.
If they lose to North.
Yeah, if they lose to North, they are going to be in even more problems than what they are at the moment. And obviously more news we've had. The Prison Bar jersey. Do you like the Prison Bar jersey? Yes or no?
I mean, do I like it? It's all right. I mean, I can see why Collingwood don't want Port to wear it in terms of their different San Rafael club. Port never wore that in their history. But at the same time, it's not as if they're versing Collingwood. Just let them wear it for a round or two and just stop this discussion, I reckon.
Yeah, I reckon I'd definitely wear it for showdowns. Because you're celebrating South Australian football.
Yeah.
They're obviously a big part of South Australian football, the Port Adelaide Magpies. But you're not going to be wear. They shouldn't wear it more than once. Well, I reckon once a year. The only time they wear it is at a home showground.
Yeah, showdown. Make it special. Make it a one-off sort of thing. Because I remember they used to wear it in like a lot of home games and even some finals games back, like, you know, when they first made the final, like 2013, 2014.
Yeah.
And they do wear it in the Santa Fe as well. But, I think Collingwood just getting mad at other people, other clubs in general. I mean,
Maguire is getting involved in stuff. He isn't involved in the football club anymore.
Since that trade period happened, you know, they lost Treloar, they lost Stevenson, they lost Phillips. Like, their club is just, like, what is happening? Like, they don't even know where they're at. They don't even know if they're rebuilding, contention for making finals. They won't make finals, but they don't even know where they're at as a footy club. They're playing kids who, you know, wouldn't get a game usually. So,
Tipping? How have you been going?
I've been going well. I've been going well. We have a competition here at the student-run radio station. I've been going well. I think I'm in the top 300 for the West Australian as well.
Big dog.
Which is, you know, it's pretty good. I think there's over 20K people in it, but I think some of my tips have been pretty lucky, to be honest.
Yeah.
You?
Amazing.
Didn't you get two on the weekend?
Yeah, I did get two on the weekend. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah, see, I mean, it's just tipping. I don't even think you can consider tipping like as a skill or anything. I think it's just like anything can happen. Luck, really. It is so, it's such so luck. I mean, yeah. Other people are better than some, but
like last week I tipped the Dogs, they choked.
Yeah, I mean, I tipped Richmond.
Yep. Then I tipped Collingwood because I thought Gold Coast, they got no chance of playing well at the MCG, and Collingwood are going to bounce back. Then I tipped Adelaide because it was at the Adelaide Oval. You said definitely tip the Giants.
Yeah, they're coming. They're rising.
And then, I think I tipped the Hawks because I liked how they played down in Tasmania, the way they came back against Adelaide. But St Kilda lived back up. And then, I don't know why, but I tipped Port Adelaide at the Gabba. Stupid decision.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but that is stupid. Brisbane at home. And to be honest, though, it would have been the other way around if it was at Adelaide Oval,
yeah,
I reckon.
Exactly.
It's just home advantage. Yeah,
it's the advantage, I guess, the Queensland teams. Yeah, and then I tipped Geelong, who were robbed. It's fair
to
say.
Yeah, I tipped Geelong as well. But it's karma because remember what happened to Brisbane. Yeah.
And then the Kangas nearly got up. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it. I was like, oh no, surely I don't get one out of the round.
I've tipped Collingwood against North Melbourne. Obviously they're favourites, but I reckon, like, I wouldn't be surprised if North beat them. Like, I was kind of leaning towards North, but I was like, I might just play it safe.
Yeah, well, the way they played early, they looked good. And then Essendon, I'm pretty sure they were leading by about 20-odd points early in the game.
A lot of people would tip Essendon. Which I did.
Yeah, I did. And then I think you tipped the Dockers, didn't you?
No, I tipped Eagles.
Oh, you did?
I did tip Eagles.
I think I tipped the Eagles in something, but I tipped the Eagles in the actual competition that I do normally.
Yeah, I've actually come up with a thing for the Dockers. Obviously, I'm a Dockers supporter. So, if they're not favourite, unless they're versing, you know, a weak team at home, I'll obviously tip them. But if they're probably not favourites or they're a hard team, I'll actually tip against them because I'll think they'll lose. And then I get a win-win situation because if they win and I lose my tip. But then if they don't win, I still get my tip right. So,
Well, there you go.
Yeah, win-win. But
obviously, we've got the grand final rematch this Friday night. Richmond and Geelong. Can't wait for that. That's going to be an absolute blockbuster at the G.
It is.
Dustin Martin's back.
I think he is. Yeah, there was a bit of talk about him being stuck in New Zealand, but he's come through.
Yeah, has he landed? Back in Melbourne?
There was a bit of thoughts if he wouldn't get up, but he's coming through, which is good.
And then Saturday, I reckon this will be a good game. Giants, Essendon. That has the potential to be a good game.
It does.
Who are you going to go for that?
Oh, I'll go GWS.
Yep, might back him as well. And this is another good game up at Metricon, Gold Coast and St Kilda.
Yeah, I've actually gone Gold Coast, and I'm thinking that's probably, like, St Kilda, I reckon, could roll them, but I've still gone for Gold Coast. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I'm going to go Gold Coast as well here. And then, obviously, that game you're talking about, Collingwood and North Melbourne at Marvel Stadium, the Nathan Buckley defying career or coaching career game, I guess you could say, because if they lose that, oh boy.
And even if they win, like, it's to be expected, so it's not as if fully safe.
It's not going
to
be a good win, I guess.
Yeah.
And then Melbourne, Sydney. If Sydney played like they did on Saturday night, this could be a very good game as well. Obviously, Melbourne, only undefeated team in the comp. Who would have thought that?
Yeah, they are. But I'm still not, like, fully convinced. They've just been so hard to trust over the years. You just never know. Like, I hate to say it, but, like, I don't know, with Melbourne. You just never know. Even on the weekend, they just showed signs, but I think they'll win.
And then the showdown, Port Adelaide, who are you going? This is probably a favourite game.
Yeah, hard to go past Port, but Adelaide, they'll probably show up a good fight, but I think Port will probably just run over the top of them.
Yep, agreed. And then the two West Australian teams are on Sunday, Hawthorn and the Eagles from 11:10 at the MCG.
Eagles need to win this. If Eagles don't win this game away, I don't see how they can win the premiership this year, honestly. Like, they need to win. They need to win away. This is a game they just have to win.
Agreed. They are only $1.49 going into for the favourites. And Hawthorn are $2.65. So, not ideal.
They just got to play four quarters of footy.
But, yeah, they got to play four quarters of footy. Is anyone back?
Hearn? Or is he Carr? His tweet? Is he still out? They've been talking about him breaking this record for so many weeks, and they're like, "Oh, it's going to happen." There was a press conference for it, for the Derby,
and he didn't play.
And he didn't play.
Yeah. Well, it might be at the MCG in front of a biggish crowd, bigger crowd than he'd be getting over here at the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the Western Bulldogs and Carlton, you would expect the Doggies to run over the Blues here.
Yep. On
Sunday, arvo. And then your beloved Dockers have gone over to the Gabba. To come up against the Lions.
So it's still a Fremantle home game.
It's a Brisbane home game.
Oh, they're switching it.
And then they switch it. So the game against Brisbane later on in the season will be a Fremantle home game at Optus. But
yeah, we won't win that.
Here's this. This week, which is round 8, no game in WA. And then round 23, there is also no game in WA. So they could, surely there's some fixture changing for round 23.
You'd think so. Like, they'll have someone there.
Yeah, because the fixtures came out. The Eagles are playing the Lions at the Gabba in that round, and the Dockers are against St Kilda at Marvel Stadium. So there's two games that aren't in Perth. So that's 2 weeks this season, Perth's going to have no footy game. Bit rigged, if you ask me.
Yeah. Here's the current climate, though.
Yeah. You never know with... Oh, yeah, you never know, do you?
Yep.
With COVID at the moment. Hopefully, Perth can get back to a full crowd. But Ethan, that's just about going to wrap it up, I reckon.
Yep.
I reckon, should we announce or tell everyone about our potential new show on a Monday?
Yeah, why not? Not linked to the podcast, but still us.
You can catch us from 5 to 7 on Eclipse Radio. Going to be talking a lot of sport with some music as well.
Yeah. So that's you can listen on TuneIn. It's an app, so it's free off wherever you on the App Store or the Google Play. And yeah, it's on TuneIn, so just listen live and just more sport really and a bit of music and our opinions and whatever's making news.
Yeah, sure thing. But until next week, another big guest, potentially a current Eagle.
Yep.
On next week. So stay tuned for that. But until then, it's goodbye.